The second scripture reading this morning is from John chapter 1, and there of verses 15 through to 30. John 1, starting at verse 15. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, "This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, 'Who art thou?' And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, 'I am not the Christ.' And they asked him, 'What then? Art thou Elias?' And he saith, 'I am not.' 'Art thou that prophet?' And he answered, 'No.' Then said they unto him, 'Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself?' He said, 'I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the path of the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah.' And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, 'Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet?' And John answered them, saying, 'I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom you know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latched I am not worthy to unloose.' These things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John, seeing Jesus coming unto him, and saith, 'Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man, which is preferred before me, for he was before me.'" So far the readings.
It's out of the Gospel of John, chapter 1. We read it together. And the text I'll choose this morning for preaching is verse number 20, the last words of this verse. "I am not the Christ," John the Baptist is speaking. Our theme this morning is John the Baptist as a messenger. And we have 2 points of attention. In the first place, who he is not. Who's John the Baptist not? What he's saying of himself. And in the second place, what he is. John the Baptist as a messenger. In the first place, who he is not. We read it in our verse. "I am not the Christ." In the second place, what he is. And then he says in verse 23, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness." Our first point, who he is not. Today is a day of joy for the congregation. Brothers are willing to serve in a term, a new term, for the first time in a term. And also John the Baptist is one who had to serve, who was willing to serve. And he is an example for people in office. But in some ways he's rather unique. And then he's not an example. He's the forerunner of Jesus Christ. He is the one who came before the Lord came in his office. And he was the forerunner to say, to run in front of him, calling the voice of the one crying in the wilderness, Luke 3. Prepare the ways of the Lord. Make the path straight. And every valley shall be filled. Here's the voice coming in front of Jesus Christ and said, prepare his coming. Be aware that he will come and be ready to receive him. Therefore he's unique. There's only one foreigner. But in other ways, he's an example. An example for office bearers. If you have been an office bearer for 4 years, or if you are now or will be for a new term, then he's an example for an office bearer, I think, in at least two ways. The first way is in pointing away from himself. I'm only an office bearer for another, for the Holy Lord, for Lord Jesus Christ. And in the other way, in pointing to the other. I'm in pointing away from himself in the first place, and pointing towards another, the Lamb of God. See, look, see the Lamb of God, an office bearer. If he's in his right place, points away from himself. I'm only a human, a sinful human being. But I may be a messenger, and I am a called messenger of the one in who is life. John the Baptist, he is the forerunner, but he has been prepared himself. You can read it in the beginning of the different Gospels, that he has been prepared in the desert of Judea. That was in the mountains above the Dead Sea, high above. So alone in the wilderness. And there was silence in the desert. Silence around John the Baptist. That's remarkable how he has been prepared just in silence in the desert. Remarkable for office bearers, I think for all of us, that we are the best prepared for the work the Lord is calling us in silence. And then an important question is, do we appreciate silence? Or is there always rumor around us, never silence? Do we know the voice of silence? The silence in which the Lord may come and speak to your heart. Then you need times. In a week, yeah, in every day, to be silent. To silence the voices around you. To listen to the word of the Lord. And to speak yourself, that your soul may speak to the Lord what's in your soul, in your heart. Then you need to have silence, to become quiet. Oh, the Lord, his blessings is necessary over all the things we're reading and praying and singing. But he says we are responsible for how we deal with silence in our life. And if he uses it, if we really become quiet, and if he opens our heart to receive his word, if he opens his heart, that we see in his word who he is, if he comes, then silence is so blessed. Then our heart is spilling over. Words are coming out of our mouth to praise the Lord for who he is. Silence be blessed for office bearers, for all younger people or elder people. John the Baptist has been prepared above the desert, above the River Jordan, on the mountains of Judea. But then time was up. And the Lord said, "You're ready. Come. You must go." The word of God came to him, says Luke, in Luke 3. The word of God came to him. It happened to him. Now your task will begin. Preparation is over. And then he descended to the valley of the river Jordan. And he spoke the words the Lord gave into his mouth to speak. And it were confronting words. If you read Luke and Matthew, you hear the words he spoke to all the people, indifferent who they are. If the people were important in their own eyes, his words were sharp. If the people were humbled, his words were so pointing to the lamp at the river, walking. He was speaking the word of the Lord to fill the valleys, that the bumpy ways be flattened and straight, that the sins were taken away, that what lacked in a human life would be filled, but how? That were his words, his sharp words, preaching. It was baptizing, preaching and baptizing, both. And the rumor of that baptizing came to Jerusalem. There is a man. He's at the ferries at Betabara, where you can cross the river Jordan. He's there where the people are coming from the north to Jerusalem and traveling back. He's there where all the cows and the lambs are coming to Jerusalem to be slaughtered for sacrifice in the temple. There is John the Baptist. That's his name because he is baptizing. And the people in Jerusalem, the important people, the leaders of the temple, the Sanhedrin, they said, "Well, we want to know more who this man is. We want to know who this man is. What's his name? In whose name he's baptizing?" And they send a committee to Betabara. And John, the Apostle John, says it's a committee consisting out of priests and Levites. Verse 19. Those are office bearers in the temple service. Not high in the hierarchy. Not the Sanhedrin itself. Not the Pharisees and the Sadducees themselves. They will come later, Matthew says. But they are doing the work, important work, in this temple service of singing the songs, the holy songs, the psalms of the Lord, of sacrificing, of judging people, of teaching. And a committee consisting of priests and Levites is coming to John with an important question. Who art thou? They come with a question, investigating. Who are you? Who are you? In whose name do you these things? And sometimes we heed those questions also. Who are you? Who are you for the Lord? You must recognize this committee is the first committee coming to John the Baptist, not to judge him, not as a police bringing him to the police station and with a sharp interrogation, who are you? Are you a criminal? No, not in that way, interrogating. But they are investigating in a way Just like the Lord says in his word, you have to investigate in whose name people come to you. You have to investigate if a man stands and says, I'm a voice, I'm an office bearer. If he's coming in the name of the Lord, if he's ordained in the right way, you know. Who are you? And I know, I'm sure, office bearers this morning can bear this question. And I know they will be ordained in a right way. Just like the Lord gave his institutions, the church, in that way is the ordination given and be done this morning. Like the Lord gave it to his disciples and later on to the churches, in the name of the apostles, in the name of Lord Jesus himself. But again, this question is important. Who are you? It comes to office bearers, but not only to them. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, it comes to all of us. Who are you? Are you behind the name of the one in whose name John the Baptist is speaking? Are you behind that name, behind the blood of the Lamb already? Are you saved as a sinner? Or are you without him? And that's a question, personal question, and a question an office bearer may ask, coming in your homes, asking for your hearts in the name of Lord Jesus. Who are you? Who are you? Interested also in your personal circumstances, that's important. Lord Jesus was, always. He was interested in human beings as they are. But he asked always further, who are you? Are you already saved? I hope you can bear this question. You can have it. In an investigating question, John the Baptist could have it, could bear it. And there comes his answer. The answer from verse 20b. Who are you? And then his answer comes. He's confessing, John says. He denied not, but confessed. An important answer. And it's an answer coming from a witness. You know, John the Baptist was one of these disciples of John the Evangelist, was one of the disciples of John the Baptist. When John the Baptist was preaching and baptizing, he had disciples around him. John the Evangelist was one of them. So he heard his words. He confessed, John the Baptist confessed. What did he say? I am not the Christ. Who I am? My answer is death. An official answer, confessing, not denying. I am not the Christ. For us, it sounds maybe a little bit strange, confessing and not denying. Why those words? It's therefore. Because the question is so important. In whose name are you speaking and baptizing, John? Do you it in the name of another person, or do you it in your own name? And if you do it in your own name, well, are you then a prophet? No, the prophet. Deuteronomy chapter 18. Then Moses is speaking about the prophet who's coming after Moses, and who is much higher than Moses himself. One is coming after me. He is the prophet. And investigate everybody coming after me. If he's speaking words according to God's word, investigate. And investigate if he's doing prophesies about the future. If those prophecies are right, are coming out. Investigate those two things. The committee is investigating. And is investigating, is this man, John the Baptist, the prophet himself? He's confessing, he's denying, no, I'm not the Christ, I'm not in Hebrew the Messiah, I'm not the one who is anointed, I'm not the one who is anointed as a prophet, as a king, or as a priest. No, I'm not the Christ. Confession of John the Baptist, I am not the Christ. John the Baptist cannot be the Christ. John the Baptist does not want to be the Christ. He cannot be the Christ. The Christ coming afterwards, Moses, who's more than Moses, he's the prophet. Who's coming after Aaron, who's more than Aaron, who is the priest. Who's coming after David, who's more than David, who's the king? No, I cannot be the anointed one. I cannot be the prophet, the priest, and the king. Why not? Because the Messiah, who's coming in the name of the Lord, he must be somebody, a man, able to carry sin away and to bear God's wrath. It has been Good Friday, not so long ago, just a few days more than a week ago, Good Friday. And then it was so in the midst of you, the Lord Jesus Christ, in the way he suffered, he carried the cross and he drank the cup of God's wrath. He was wrestling in the Garden of Gethsemane and he asked his Holy Father, may this cup of your wrath, pass me. But not my will, but thy will may happen. He was wrestling. But he was willing also, the will of his Father, to carry this cup. He could, he alone. He really is the Christ. He can carry the wrath. Carry away sin. He is the prophet, speaking more words of truth than Moses had ever done, the truth himself. He is the priest, who is God and human being at the same time, the Savior. And as a human being without sin, no filth, no guilt from himself, carrying all the sins, all the filth, all the guilt of his people. He is the Christ, the Messiah. And John says, no, I am not the Christ. I cannot be the Christ. Office bearers can also not be the Christ, just as John the Baptist. And I think it's a lesson of Christ, in the school of Christ, in which he teaches all his children that they are not the Christ, they cannot be the Christ. It's an important lesson. Why? Oh, if you are full of love to God, to the Holy God, it can be in the beginning of your conversion or in another time of your life, that new life given by God. If you're full of love, then you think everything can be done. I can do everything for the Lord. He's so worth my heart, my life, my hands, my ears, my eyes, my acting. All I do is for him. I devote all my life to him. It's a great thing. And I'm sure office bearers are happy and glad when they hear that. But there's a lesson to learn. You cannot be the Christ. You cannot make your own salvation. You cannot earn the eternal kingdom with your own hands. Because you and I cannot be the Christ. Our hands are too short. Our hearts are too dark. There's too much filth in our life. Too much guilt on our shoulders. We cannot be the Christ, cannot bear our own sins, let alone that of others. And somebody who thinks he's the Christ brings, yeah, that's true, darkness over his own life. That comes in your life then, if you think, I must done it myself. I must do it myself, all the things myself. Because if you do it in that way, you rob Christ of his honor. And John the Baptist has learned he should not do that. He cannot be the Christ. Because if he robs Christ of his honor, then Christ is not the prophet. John is a little bit of the prophet. Christ is not the priest. Then John needs no priest. He does it himself. Christ is no longer king. Then John is king. I cannot be. And it's a prayer this morning. And I hope every week, every day, for your consistory, deacons and elders, no, for all of us, that nobody of us is the Christ. Because we are convinced by the Holy Spirit, by his true work in his heart, in our heart, that we are not the Christ. Praying that we are convinced that we are not the Christ because we cannot be the Christ. We cannot be it. John the Baptist cannot be the Christ. John the Baptist does not want to be the Christ. He has his lesson learned. He has been in the desert in the silence. He has his lesson learned. You cannot be the Christ. And he doesn't want it to be. It's good to have such consistory members, office bearers, who does not want to be the Christ. It can be nice for the flesh if you get honor of man, but it's so dangerous for a human being to seek the honor of people. It's spoiling you. You may bear your office bearers on your hands. On folded hands, you know? On folded hands. Bringing them to the office bearer on the right hand of the Holy God, Jesus Christ. He must get the honor. And John the Baptist, he does not want to be the Christ. Why not? He cannot be the Christ. Why not? He knows the one who is really the Christ. And he is the one, Jesus Christ, who wants to be the Christ himself. He does. That's a wonder, an eternal wonder for John the Baptist. Here at River Jordan, now in heaven. That Jesus wants to be the Christ. God in heaven. God's only begotten Son. In divine celestial glory. Says to his Father. I want to be the Christ. I am willing. To go down to earth. To be humbled. To be crushed. By your holy law. Your right. Which is so demanding, perfection, a perfect life. I have all that in heaven. I come to earth and will be crushed, bearing and carrying the sins and the guilt of others, of all my people, I will. I am the one from whom is written in thy book, Psalm 40. Here am I to do your will. to do your good pleasure, your eternal loving kindness to lost sinners, to lost people. Oh, that's a wonder for John the Baptist. It's a wonder for you. There is a Christ. He lives. He has died. But he has risen indeed. And he wants to be the Christ. John not. John says, I must decrease. That's good. He must increase. He must be more. He must be all. Let me decrease. No matter. I don't want to be the Christ. Because there is the Christ. I'm only a servant. You're not. John, the Christ. Second point. If you're not the Christ, you're saying what you are not, well, what are you then? What he is, our second point. Well, the committee has heard the answer. And they come back with another question. And that question is indeed, what are you then, if you're not the Christ? Are you then Elias? Malachi is speaking of a forerunner of the Messiah. Are you then that forerunner? Are you Elias? Some Jewish people in the time of Jesus said, Elias will be the forerunner of Jesus Christ. He will come back from heaven and he will be the forerunner. Are you then Elias? And then he said, no, I'm not Elias. I'm not the Elias from the Old Testament. Later on in the Gospel, Lord Jesus himself calls him Elias. A man like Elias. But here at the River Jordan, John the Baptist is saying, no, I'm not Elias himself. And that's true, he's not Elias himself. Lesson for office bearers. You don't have to imitate other people. John the Baptist doesn't have to imitate Elias or Moses. No, he's a called human being with his own talents and gifts. He's John the Baptist, he's not Elias. Jesus doesn't ask his people in the office or outside the office to copy other people or to imitate them. No, only one. To imitate Jesus Christ. He's the only good example and the only source of all good things. No, I'm not Elijah. But then we must go back to the Sanhedrin in Jerusalem. We are a committee of them. And what must we say then? What's the answer, verse 22, that we may give to them that sent us? What dost thou say of thyself? And then comes the answer of John the Baptist, what he is. He says, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. He says, John says, that he is a voice. And John says how he is a voice. He says that he is a voice. I am the voice of one crying. A voice of another. How good if an office bearer is the voice of another. You are called to be a voice. A voice of one who gives the words. How good is to have such office bearers, congregation, that if they come in your homes, they resound the word of God they received from him. They studied upon him. And they got that word. And that they give it through their mouths to you, that you may hear that they are a voice, a called voice, then it's important they study. Give them time for that. Then it's important they study, just like the form, we will read it later on. It says that studying will be richly blessed. Time alone, silence with the Lord. He will bless it. And He will give His blessing to the congregation. Time alone to be a witness. A witness whose heart is renewed, whose eyes are opened, whose ears are opened. Just like John the Evangelist was a witness of all what happened, but especially a witness of Jesus Christ, what happened in his heart and in his life. John the Evangelist was a witness of the work of the Lord, of Jesus Christ himself, of the treasures of Jesus Christ received through the word in his heart. Being a witness, becoming a witness. What a wonder. And John says, I am a voice. That he is a voice. But he is not only saying that. He's not only saying that he is a voice, but also how he is a voice. And he's not only saying, I'm a voice. No, no. I am the voice. He's speaking with authority, but not from himself. He has received the word of God and he's giving it through. And what is that word? Two words. You can summarize it with two words. Law and gospel. He is preaching the word sharply. He's saying, oh, fill the valleys and cut off the branches. Take away the sins in your life and make the path straight for the Lord who's coming in. Prepare His coming into your heart. Repent and convert. That's a sharp word. And if you read in Luke 3, you see he makes it very specific to people who are military, to people who are tax collectors, to people working in the church. He is dealing with their specific sins, and I think the Lord is doing it that way in our lives. If the Holy Ghost is coming and working, pointing at specific sins, and you know, everybody of us knows what are specific sins. And he's pointing deeper. Not only that we are doing sins, repenting them, but also that we are sinners, that we have a source of sin in ourselves. Two words, the work of the law. And then the law is teaching us in ourselves not perfect, but imperfect. Not clean, but unclean. Not worthy, but unworthy. Not free, but enslaved. The law is teaching. Did it teach you already? Did it teach you more? But that's not the only thing John the Baptist is speaking. Not the only thing your office bearers are speaking. They're speaking with two words. Words for the one who is sending, the one who calls them. Law and gospel. Gospel both. And then he sees Lord Jesus walking on the riverbanks behind the people who are gathered around John the Baptist. And then he's pointing with his finger. Oh, look, see the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world. And office bearers made point of that lamp, that holy lamp, who is giving himself and who is calling lost sinners also this morning. Oh, come to me, all ye who are tired and heavy loaden within. Come to me. I am the Christ. I am Jesus. I am Savior. And I am willing to be a Savior. I am willing to be your Savior. But come, repent. Come at the feet of my Father and look at me. Am I worthy for thee? Are you needy for me? Or do you say, no, I'll do it in my own way? John the Baptist says, no, you cannot do it in your own way. You cannot be the Christ, but there is a Christ. He's pointing at him. And if the Lord uses his words, his own word in that way, law and gospel, oh, then we see the darkness in our life. And in the hour of our darkness, there can be so much light. If the Lord opens his word and you see the Lamb of God, I am the Christ. He is the voice of the one who is calling and crying. And then you need to have a voice, to exercise, to study. And the Lord will use that. That's his promise. And sometimes an office bearer is tired of his work, sometimes despondent, working and sowing on hard rocks. That's true. A human heart is hard as a rock itself. Bring your questions, the things of your sorrows, bring it to the Lord. That's a secret between him and you. But speak good of the Lord in the congregation and trust he will bless his word. He will do it. His word can never back empty. It will do what the Lord pleases. And congregation, what a wonder. God uses office bearers. He did it in the past. He does it now. He will do it in the future because God is the one who was, who is, and will ever be. And he uses office bearers. If it's for you, what a wonder. For you again. Not only for the first time, but again. Make God great. And pray for them. Amen.